The following rebroadcast is presented as a public service by WTOE Radio. This is the rebroadcast of the Candidates Forum, which was held Tuesday, organized and presented by the Mitchell Chamber of Commerce. This was held at the Old Courthouse in Bakersville. The moderator is Dan Barron.
Each candidate in each group will have the opportunity for a two-minute opening statement. Then the questions will be asked by the individual panel members. The candidates may ask that the question be repeated, and that's perfectly okay. There's no problem with that. The candidate will have 1 minute to respond to that question as soon as he or she, well, tonight it's going to be all he's, starts to speak. That will be the beginning, and they'll have 1 minute. Each candidate will also have the opportunity to make a two-minute closing statement. Each candidate will have 3 personal privilege cards. These may be used at the discretion of the candidates to any response, again, for 1 minute. Time will be kept by Kelly Jones, and she will communicate this to the candidates and to me with a 10-second, and then at the end of 1 minute, a red that says stop. It may be harsh, and it's going to be difficult for me to do this because I don't like to do this. But as soon as I see that red card held up, I will say thank you, and we will go forward. There will be no other comments after thank you. Are there any questions from the candidates? Any questions from the audience? Well, most of all, thank you all so much for being here, because it's not a hype to say that this truly is an American democracy in action. The panelists, we like to appreciate Brandon Roberts for coming and being a panel member or a questioner, and Bruce Eichert from WTOE. Brandon, of course, is from Mitchell News Journal. We will begin with the candidates that are unopposed, the ones who are able to smile the entire time that they are up here. And the other part about this is, the neat part about this is that, as all of you probably know, if they are unopposed, that means that they are doing one heck of a good job. Okay? Janet Cook, would you like to come forward and give us about 25 minutes of... let me check my notes here.
I want to thank Patty and the Chamber for the invitation to be here this evening. And maybe I should say welcome to all of you, because this is my old stomping ground. I've spent many years here in this courtroom. And I want to begin by thanking my precious family for all their support and prayers over the years, and my wonderful husband who stood by me and who is so thankful he didn't have to put up any big signs this year. I also want to thank my staff for all their support and hard work. And a wise person, President Ronald Reagan, once said, and I quote, "Surround yourself with the best people you can find, delegate authority, and don't interfere." And that's what I've tried to do. I have a wonderful and knowledgeable staff, and they work very hard to serve and care for the people of Mitchell County. I'm very humbled by the fact that I'm unopposed, and I want to thank each of you for your trust in me to serve as your clerk. My door will always be open because this is your office. And I have to say, too, today my 5-year-old grandson said, "Nana, don't worry, I support you." So, can I say, too, to those that are on the ballot, we live in the most wonderful place on earth. Don't run for office to change Mitchell County to be like some other place, but run because you love Mitchell County and you care about the people and you want to make it better. Run to serve the people. I taught Sunday school for a number of years, and I had a lady in my class that every time she would pray, she would end her prayer this way: "Lord, help me to be a better person tomorrow than I've been today, and help me to help someone along the way." Now, this is my prayer, and I think that it should be the prayer of every public servant. Thank you again for your support, and God bless.
Sheriff Donald Street.
I didn't bring any paperwork, so now I feel bad. I want to say I'm very thankful to be the sheriff. I'm very thankful to be running unopposed. I've worked here at the sheriff's office now for 41 years. No, correction, 36 years. If I win this next term and I feel pretty good, I'll have 41 years then. And I just want to say thank you. Being sheriff's a hard job. I mean, you make people mad, you make some people happy, but I'm very honored to be the sheriff. Thank y'all for being here tonight.
We're sorry that Seth Banks was not able to come tonight, but we're also very fortunate that his wife Gretchen is here. Gretchen, if you'll please come.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight on Seth's behalf. Seth wishes he could be here, but he's attending a statewide meeting of the elected district attorneys down in eastern North Carolina. He was honored this past year to be chosen by the 44 elected DAs to serve on their executive committee of the North Carolina Council of District Attorneys. I'd like to take a moment just to highlight a few of the accomplishments of Seth's office over the last 4 years. As you know, the district comprises Avery, Madison, Mitchell, Yancey, and Watauga counties. And over the last 4 years, there has been a 1,300% increase in the number of habitual felons who have been sentenced to prison. And the number of jury trials has increased by 125%. Seth has also worked really hard with law enforcement officers, judges, clerks, and community members to implement strategies to reduce drug crimes in our region. This effort has included working hand-in-hand with the Chief District Court Judge, Ted McIntyre, and the county commissioners and others to bring a drug treatment court to Mitchell, Yancey, and Madison counties for the first time. These courts will provide additional opportunities to reach those who struggle with addiction. I've seen firsthand Seth's dedication to do his job day in and day out with integrity and a strong work ethic. And while he puts in long hours traveling constantly among the five counties in this district, taking calls from law enforcement officers sometimes late at night, and working to improve criminal justice statewide through his service on various boards and committees, including the Governor's Crime Commission, we continue to see his opportunity to serve as the district attorney for our district as a tremendous privilege and honor. So Seth and I would just greatly appreciate your support and prayers as we go into the next 4 years. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Now, we'll ask the candidates as a group to come and be seated. I also want to ask the candidates if they'll be very careful because the microphones are on automatic alert. They're just sitting there, and so messing with them, please just talk as close as you can into them and don't mess with them. Okay? First of all, we will do the first group will be the North Carolina State Senate. Senator Ralph Hyas and Mr. David Wheeler, please come forward.
No, you're welcome.
Well. We will begin with, in alphabetical order, with Senator Hyas with his 2-minute introduction opening statement, please.
Thank you very much. And let me begin by thanking the Chamber of Commerce for putting this event on and for WTOE for carrying it in the community. This happens to be the seventh one of these, including my time as mayor, that I've participated in. And I think they're a great event. And we really have an incredible turnout, probably stronger than I've seen proportionally in any of the counties we've been in. I've had the privilege for 8 years now to be your state senator. We had a long, hard fight to get here. It's been difficult to have communities like Mitchell County to have an actual voice in Raleigh. They're swallowed up, particularly in the Democrat Party, by your large urban areas. But after 8 years, I have a record that I think Mitchell County can be proud of. We began this with the passage of a marriage amendment and changing our constitution in the state of North Carolina to still say that marriage is the only union recognized between one man and one woman in the state of North Carolina. We faced budget deficits that were over $2.5 billion. We have balanced that budget. At the same time, we have cut the corporate, the personal, the sales tax rate in North Carolina and still built a $2 billion surplus. North Carolina just got hit with the largest storm we have ever seen hit. And we have changed the narrative. Thus, last night, we appropriated $800 million to be able to cover that. No other storm before have we been in a position to do that. When Bakersville was destroyed, I went down with many people to the legislature. And we were told, in everything we asked, there was no funding for that. We had to wait 18 months for FEMA to buy out. We have changed North Carolina, and I believe we have done many things that Mitchell County can be proud of.
Thank you, Senator Heiss. Mr. Wheeler?
Well, good evening, Mitchell County and folks on Facebook. Is anybody ready to move forward? Does anybody want to move backwards? If you're ready for active leadership, then I'm your man. I'm not going to holler at you tonight. My name is David Wheeler, and I'd like to be your next North Carolina State Senator. I'm the fourth of five kids, a husband, father of three small kids, small business person, son of a Marine, and my mama is one tough quilter. So I'm looking forward to our discussion this evening. Senator Heiss has a lot to account for, including whether the charges of embezzling $10,000 from his own personal campaign are true, and why he asked for taxpayers for 34 days of pay in February of 2018. If they're not true, tell me. If you have another explanation, let's tell the people of Mitchell County all about it. But I'm also accountable to you tonight. If I don't give you straight talk, like the great senator, late Senator John McCain, then I've failed. If I don't answer the questions, then I'm not worthy to be in the Senate. However, voter beware. I'm very passionate about the job of representing all of you. If you elect me, you'll see a lot of me, probably more than you want to. I'll be open to your communications. I'll host two town halls per county per year, open to anyone. I'll have a Senate office in Spruce Pine that'll be open to help constituents. I'll answer email, won't block anybody on social media, and text. So, I'm not your typical Democrat.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler.
Okie doke, thank you. I'll finish in my next answer.
First question, again, we'll go in alphabetical order. Mr. Roberts, if you will.
Sure. Senator Heiss, do you believe the acquisition of Mission by HCA, including Blue Ridge Regional, will benefit Mitchell County? Why or why not?
I will begin to say that I don't believe the state has a role in who owns businesses and others. I have talked a lot to Mission and their executives. I think there are a lot of things that we can be excited about. The creation of a trust fund in Western North Carolina that will give us the largest trust fund focused on the determinants of health. Anywhere in the United States will now be in Western North Carolina on a per capita basis. But when it really comes down to it, the question is going to be, what access to health care are they going to provide? Mission itself has been around threatening that Blue Ridge Hospital may not have a long future. We already saw labor and delivery close. At least this purchase gives us a guarantee of 5 years, and effectively for 7 years, that we will maintain our facility in North Carolina. We just have a lot of work to do to continue that after that point.
Thank you, Senator Heiss. Bruce, Mr. Eichert, I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep this formal.
What is your view on holding scheduled town halls in all counties of your district versus making personal visits to each county throughout the year to see constituents, local officials, and organizations, David?
Well, I think in my opening statement I made it pretty clear that two town halls per county per year, with no agenda other than let's hear from each other, let's talk to each other. I believe that one of the problems we face right now is that we're talking through each other or at each other. We're not talking to each other. And as a result of that, we're not getting anything done in Raleigh. It seems to me that the more we talk to each other, the more we can come up with some creative solutions. I've probably done 600% more town halls than the senator has, even in this campaign. I myself have organized and participated in 7 town halls so far, and we've got a couple more coming up, and I didn't limit who attended, and I took some tough questions.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Mr. Roberts, question number 2 for Senator Heiss.
Senator, do you believe it's been said hospitals that were 85% dependent on Medicare and Medicaid funds historically didn't survive, therefore the expansion of Medicaid would not be the answer. Do you believe that would happen to rural hospitals in your district if Medicaid were expanded? If so, what is the basis for your assertion?
There is no example in North Carolina of any hospital who currently has a Medicare and Medicaid population over 85% that is profitable. The rates and others that pay, where they do exist happens to be at the goodwill of the urban areas. We have health care here because of Asheville. Blue Ridge Hospital, when it was Spruce Pine Hospital, was probably one of the last to be profitable. I think it is a real risk to expand Medicaid, which will force us into more consolidations of hospitals, more urbanization of hospitals, and many of the closures of rural hospitals will accelerate.
Thank you, Senator Heiss. Mr. Eichert, where's Mr. Wheeler?
Mr. Wheeler, what measures, if any, do you believe are necessary to improve public education in North Carolina?
Actually, the question should be what is going right in public education, I think. Under the leadership of this legislature, they've become, in my estimation, a legislature that doesn't care about public education. They don't invest in teachers. They're not investing in schools. We may have some tax dollars coming into this county for a new school, but we got to match it. We got to come up with our own money. So I think there are a lot of things that could be done. I'd like to see teacher pay in the top 20 by 2020. I know that's going to be a big stretch, but we can do it. I know that we haven't had a statewide school bond in more than, I think, 22 years. Senator probably knows better than me. Let's do a statewide bond so everything isn't pushed down to Vern and Jacob and all the other commissioners here, and we're all stuck with the cost for those.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler.
Excuse me.
Oh, we have a challenge. Oops, our personal privilege.
Thank you. I want to respond to that. It's never been the responsibility of the state to do facilities work until we took over and began this process actually last year with about $30 million. This year we came in with $150 million to build new schools. And I'm proud to stand up here and tell you that 20% of that funds is coming to the 47th District. $15 million coming to build the new school in Mitchell County. That's an investment that has never been made before as a state. We have the fastest growing rates of teacher pay in the nation over the last 2 years for the raises that we've given teachers. Now, you can continue with a Democrat talking point all you want about how we've not funded education, and I'll show you a record where we've done more to fund education now in this county than has ever been done before.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Wheeler.
So, I'm not sure why he's shouting at us, but we talk about a lot of different things, Senator. You're number five in the Senate. With $136 million in special appropriations that came out of the legislature this last time, correct? How much did Mitchell County get? $25,000. So let's maybe get a little more excited about bringing home the bacon here. And, you know, that $150 million is tax dollars, Senator. It's not as if it was just came out of the thin air. All of us are paying for that. So you can get excited about your record is during education, but what about the other opportunities that you're missing? $25,000 for Mitchell County out of $136 million.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Question number three for Senator Heiss. Mr. Roberts.
Senator, state and local governments provide substantial economic incentives for corporations to relocate to North Carolina or expand their operations in the state. What is your position on the use of economic incentives for private business?
I really wish this were a program that we could be out of. I'd really struggle with the role of state government trying to go out and fish in corporations from other states. But I've seen too many projects leave North Carolina or not locate in North Carolina, quite frankly, because South Carolina offered them more, Alabama offered them more money and others. And that's why we've created now for large industries and for small industries. We use the funds in this state to recruit. Many of you work with Bill Slagle here in the county and talk about all the businesses now, including Uniman and others that are expanding and utilizing those funds to be able to create jobs here in North Carolina. I think we've got a lot of announcements coming up on the large scale as well that's coming in, as you'll see shortly after the election. But I think we've done a good job of finally balancing that and getting it out of the tax credit system and tying it directly to jobs created.
Thank you, Senator. Question number three for Mr. Wheeler. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Wheeler, should candidates who file false and misleading claims against their opponent be held legally responsible?
Well, maybe we could talk to the sheriff and build another jail, if that's the case. I don't think you should. Well, should they be legally responsible? Yeah, they should. Why shouldn't they? We're legally responsible if I go out and make false claims about somebody else in the community. And I guarantee you, everything that I'm talking about, I've heard a lot of talk on Facebook and elsewhere that a lot of things I'm making up are fake news. This is not fake news, guys. Heiss is being investigated. Does that look like fake news? And we don't know where that stands at this point. We don't know whether he is in serious trouble or not. So I stand by my record. I also tallied up the days myself on his February of 2018, and he was paid for 34 days in the month of February.
Senator Heiss.
A blogger out of Raleigh, his name's Greg Flynn, my opponent knows him much better than I do, decided to file a complaint against my campaign. That's true. Why are you being investigated? Because a blogger filed a complaint. The Democrat-controlled State Board of Election has held that for nearly 2 years and tried this week, on the first day of early voting, to spring that as their October surprise. They did it without their staff being prepared, without their staff ready to make a recommendation. And we are fighting a board right now that has been weaponized by the governor, that announces when hearings are going to be heard more by my opponent than they entail the person who's been accused. Darn right we're going to fight. Darn right I'm going to fight if this goes to a district attorney or any legal sense that we can take it out of this political. I will fight this challenge because there's nothing here and my opponent's been...
Thank you, Senator Heist. Mr. Wheeler?
So that's the first time we've heard anything about this charge. He admitted it. He's under investigation. The first time. And you know what? He wrote the bill to reconstitute this board. He introduced it. So how can he claim this is a Democratic witch hunt when he wrote the bill to create the new board? And it's not controlled by the Democrats. If it was controlled by the Democrats, Ralph, they would have had the hearing a year ago. Your party actually kicked the hearing that was supposed to happen on this Wednesday. We were supposed to learn what was the fate, what was going on with this investigation on Wednesday. I'm raising my voice now, getting excited. And the Republican member of that board leaked a confidential document that the chairman decided it was probably a good idea to wait and let's finish that investigation.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Question number four for Senator Heist. Mr. Roberts.
I want to apologize in advance for this one. Explain the job of a state senator and the responsibilities regarding days of work, committee assignments, and required attendance for votes.
You know, as I've seen it from the beginning, my job as a state senator is to represent you in Raleigh. Every day that goes by in Raleigh that I'm not there, your voice isn't there. And I, from the beginning, have made a commitment that not only am I going to move to leadership, to chair committees, but when we're discussing any bill in the state, I'm going to be there for the votes, I'm going to be there for the committee work, and I'm going to make sure we're represented. It is an incredible sacrifice personally and for my family. But that is what I've signed up to do. I'm not talking about how many days were you in Raleigh or wherever else, or when I'm even at community college and take my vacation time to go be part of the General Assembly. Now, he's because I'm being double paid, as he says, because I'm paid for my vacation time. It's too many days. Your job is to represent in Raleigh, and that's what I'm here to do.
Thank you, Senator. Question number four for Mr. Wheeler. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Wheeler, tell us about where you grew up and your career prior to entering the political arena, i.e. education, jobs held, etc.
Thank you, Bruce. I grew up in a rural part of Iowa. My father was a farmer at one point. I went to public schools. I went to a public university. And lo and behold, it took me 45 years, but I ended up with the place that I should be. I feel at home in Mitchell County and in North Carolina in a way that I didn't feel at home in Chicago. I lived there for 22 years, proudly. I don't hide from it. But I also bring some outside perspective. I am a country boy, but I grew up, spent a lot of time in the city, and there are ideas that I think we can implement here in this part of the world that are relevant, that are helpful. Not all of them. But I'm proud of my public school education and my rural upbringing.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Question number five and the last question for Senator Heist. Mr. Roberts.
Senator, are rural counties getting their fair share of state sales taxes?
Absolutely not. When we came in, the distribution of sales tax happens to start with where businesses are located and then come back later. And if you happen to be like Dare County, you get a 40% bonus to that. If you happen to be in Madison County, where Buncombe comes right to the county line and builds the Lowe's and the Walmart, almost two-thirds of the sales tax Madison County individuals spend go to Buncombe County. That's why, along with Harry Brown, have proposed making sure we change the entire system to distribute sales tax based on a per-person formula. That would be about $30,000 for Mitchell County, and as much for other county I represent, would be almost as much as $3 million a year from Rutherford County. This is what the urban areas are pulling out of the sales tax system. It is why it's important to focus on spending your dollars locally, but it's more important that we change the system to stop this from happening so that your dollars aren't stolen by the urban areas.
Thank you, Senator Heiss. Mr. Wheeler?
So I want to go back to a conversation from earlier. The senator has admitted that this may go to a district attorney. Think about your vote, folks. The senator, with all due respect, may be tied up in litigation, tied up in a criminal investigation. Is that where we want him spending his time? I don't think so. I'd think you'd want somebody in Raleigh, as the senator says, working hard to bring as much back here as we possibly can. And I also don't think we need somebody that's got two jobs we're not really sure what he does at one of them, and he spends a lot of time in Raleigh at the other one, but he's not bringing home the bacon. I mean, he could claim that $150 million or $15 million here in Mitchell is his doing. That's great, but what about the rest of the county?
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Senator Heiss?
Every legislator has two jobs. It's the nature of the position. It's a part-time position, whether they're attorneys or doctors or whether they're even retired individuals. Anyone can file a complaint. They don't need substance. The state board is obligated to investigate. I've said that. They're doing an investigation. But this try to railroad someone, that we've seen the mob mentality that's come out of politics now. Look at what happened to Justice Kavanaugh. If they can just keep making more and more accusations against someone, they don't need any truth. They don't need any relevance. Just make another accusation. That's the new mantra of the Democrat Party and one that my opponent continues to espouse throughout this campaign.
Thank you, Senator. Question number 5 and the last question for Mr. Wheeler. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Wheeler, the North Carolina General Assembly has established a House Select Committee on School Safety. If you were a member of that committee, what would be your top solution that you would put forth?
Again, a great question. I think school safety is top of mind for all of us. I've got 3 school-age children. I know the senator has 2 children in public schools as well. I think one of the best things that the state could do is utilize our sheriffs. Don't overburden them with an unfunded mandate, but they're on the front lines. Let's give them some funding to train maybe some retired veterans. How about that? Maybe some folks that already have training with firearms, because we don't want firearms in teachers' pockets in schools. That doesn't make any sense. But I think, you know, given Sheriff Street an allocation of budget and the ability to hire some qualified individuals to offer their services at schools, I think that's the direction to go.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Come to the closing statements now. Senator Heiss, if you will.
Thank you. It really is an honor and pleasure to serve Mitchell County and the General Assembly and the other counties that I represent. You know, coming as the mountain boy from down here, coming to Raleigh, they didn't expect a lot when we began. But you want to look at why these attacks are coming and why the state parties are throwing them? Because somebody got under their skin. Somebody they're afraid of. They're afraid of someone who will stand for his faith on the floor. They are afraid of someone who will stand for his principles on the floor. We have moved North Carolina as a General Assembly. I don't back down. I don't change, and I don't compromise who I am. And they will do anything they can to try to stop that. But that's why I represent in Western North Carolina. When I walk through the grocery store here, people come up to me and tell me, the most common thing they tell me is, we are praying for you. We are praying for your family. That's what I get to represent in Raleigh that so many other districts don't get to represent. This area in this region. And I'm proud to do it. I'm proud to serve. And if you continue to elect me, I will not back down. I will not bend my knee. We're being asked, but I will stand for your values and your conservative values in Western North Carolina. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Closing remarks, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. Barron, and thank you, Senator Hayes, for being here. Thank you to Patty and the folks at the chamber. I'm a Democrat, but I'm not your typical Democrat, despite what folks are going to tell you. We'll probably start getting some mail that I'm a crazy left-wing liberal. Well, if I'm a crazy left-wing liberal, then why am I pro-Second Amendment? Why am I personally against abortion? Why am I a proud Christian? You don't hear that out of Democrats' mouths very often, do you? And I love this country. And I love the state. And I love the people in this room. This has been the most exhilarating experience of my life. I can't think of anything that I've enjoyed more. And I've traveled to Antarctica through the Drake Passage. I've been to Tanzania and lots of other places. But this is home for me now. And it's important to me that we've got somebody in Raleigh that does represent our values. I disagree with the senator. I don't think he represents our values. And with all due respect, Senator, you spend so much time in Raleigh, how would you know what the people's values are? I knew you grew up here, but I think it's also, you didn't grow up in Rutherford County, and you didn't grow up in Polk County and other counties. So that's what you're going to get from me. You're going to get an open communication, open line of communication. I'm not going to holler, but I'm not going to back down either. But the different, one of the other differences between what the senator just said and what I will do, I've evolved on issues. I'm open to different ideas and new ideas. And that's what you'll get from a Senator Wheeler. I hope you'll support me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. And thank you, gentlemen, for a well-done, well-presented group. And our next group, if we will, can make their way down. Representative Josh Dobson. I think I saw him walking. Oh, yeah, I saw him. And Mr. Howard Larson. And I'd also like to thank the audience. You're doing exceptionally well, maintaining your calm and cool demeanor. We will have each candidate will have five questions, and we'll begin in alphabetical order again with Representative Dobson with his two-minute opening statement.
Thank you, Dan, and it is an honor to be here. Thank Patty and the chamber for putting this forum on. Obviously, by the crowd, there's an interest here tonight, so I appreciate you all being here, and I appreciate Howard. I think we've become friends over this process, and we're going to be friends when it's over, and I appreciate him stepping forward. This seat doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the 85th District, and I have to earn it every 2 years, and that's what I plan on doing. It's been the honor of my life to serve in the General Assembly. It's just been about 6 years ago that I was appointed right over the hill here in Mitchell County, and since that day, I don't take it for granted the opportunity that you all have given me over the last 6 years. And every time I walk in that building and get to vote on your behalf and represent our values of Western North Carolina, I don't take it for granted. I'm proud of my record. Hopefully we'll be able to get into that, so I'll save my time for that, but I'm proud of the things we've done for child care. I'm proud of the things we've done for behavioral health. I'm proud of the things we've done for pre-K, and I'll save time for that at the end. I've heard several congressmen say that they've been put pressure on to be in Washington, when they're in Washington, to say,
You need to vote with the team. You need to vote for the team. You need to vote for the team, Democrat or Republican. And I've heard them say, I appreciate what you're saying, but my team's back in my district. Well, over the last 6 years, that's the kind of representative I've tried to be, to not kowtow to anybody, but to say, I appreciate what you're saying, but my team's back in Western North Carolina. That's what I've done over the last 6 years, and that's what I plan to do if I'm fortunate enough to be selected again. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Larson, opening statement.
Well, I'd like to thank the Chamber for putting on this event, and I'd like to thank all of you for attending. It's a great turnout. My name is Howard Larson. I've been a resident of Mitchell County for 7 years, lived in Raleigh for 3 years prior to that. We're here because my wife's family is from this general region. If her great-granddaddy used to ride up Henson Creek and down Cane Creek when he was sheriff of Mitchell County, back when, before Avery County was a county. Since I've been in North Carolina, I've watched this state go backwards because of our General Assembly. In education, we talk about funding. We are now almost back to where we were 2008, if you were to compare dollar to dollar, and counting inflation and everything else. We need to be ahead of that. We need to be concerned about our land, air, and water. I've seen this assembly pass legislation that if you're a fracker, you don't have to tell anybody what you're injecting into the soil, even if there isn't a hazard to the health of people near the fracking operation. One thing I do believe we need to do immediately is the expansion of Medicaid. No one should be denied medical care. I don't care who they are, how useless they are. If we don't provide medical care, it will cost us eventually. And one thing that I would like to see start up in a grassroots movement is campaign finance reform. There is way too much money in politics. We have... I'm sorry, you startled me.
Well, thank you very much.
But my 10 seconds was up, so I...
You can make it up.
I'm sorry, what?
You'll make it up. Somewhere,
okay, I
want to
thank Josh. I really like...
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Larson. Question number one for Representative Dobson. Mr. Roberts, please.
Representative Dobson, can you, I guess, briefly explain the 6 constitutional amendments on the ballot?
Oh, goodness.
Briefly. I'd be willing to give you 11 seconds.
Okay. Okay, let me write them down so make sure I get them all real quick. I'll go with the ones that I can remember off the top of my head. The voter ID amendment, that's been one of the most divisive issues. I'm not going to try to change anybody's mind here today. That one's pretty self-explanatory. The Board of Ethics, it was talked about earlier, it changes from a 4-4 board, from a 5-4 board to make it bipartisan. Marcy's Law supports victims' rights. I don't know of anybody that's opposed to Marcy's Law in the Constitution. That's a good amendment as well. The right to hunt and fish is also in one of the 6 amendments. So those are the 4 that come to my mind right off the top. The tax reform. Thank you. It would move the tax rate from 10% to 7% in our Constitution. And the last one is judicial vacancies, where currently the governor has the right to appoint whomever they want to a seat with no restrictions whatsoever. I believe that the governor should have the right to make that appointment with consultation with the General Assembly. So one man or one woman doesn't have full authority to do that.
Thank you, Representative Dobson. First question from... Oh, we have... Yes.
I'm sorry, Dr. Barron.
No problem. Mr. Lark.
Constitutional amendments, the voter ID. I don't know how you boil it down to anything else. It's a racist policy to deny minorities and the poor to their right to vote. Taking the board, the ethical board from 5-4, it makes 4 Republicans, 4 Democrats. It disenfranchises the second or maybe the largest party in the state, unaffiliated. It needs to stay a 9-to-4. The tax break. I don't believe there's many people in here paying the maximum tax in the state. We pay about 5.4, 5.6% right now. If we freeze the tax rate in the future, it will benefit the wealthiest in the state. And if there becomes another crisis, we will have to cut core programs in this state or raise the sales tax. And the sales tax is the most regressive.
Thank you very much, Mr. Larson.
Thank you.
Question number one for Mr. Larson. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Larson, would you support the option to have teachers and staff members volunteer to be trained to carry a weapon in schools?
No. I spent my career as an educator. I've spent my life as a gun owner. I am not trained like a deputy would be or a whatever resource officer would be in a school to carry a firearm. As a union rep in my school once, I had to defend a teacher who brought pepper spray in her purse, and a student got hold of it. Well, we can imagine in the middle school what happened. Teachers are not prepared to be armed. I think they would cause a greater risk to the students and others. And also, when that first responder arrives and he sees a civilian with a gun, will there be enough time for him to sit down and say, let's talk about it. Are you required to have that gun, or are you the one here I'm after? Guns, Army teachers, is not the way to go.
Thank you. Question number two for Representative Dobson. Mr. Roberts.
Representative, what are your thoughts on the state's Strengthen Opioid Misuse Prevention, or STOP Act, and the funding associated with it?
It was a strong bipartisan bill. And sometimes in legislation, whomever is running the bill or leading the charge on a bill gives the bill credibility. The bill itself centers around putting restrictions, and it's more complicated than this, but to simplify it, putting restrictions on what doctors can do and how much they can prescribe for how long without having patients come back. We had a doctor in the General Assembly, Dr. Greg Murphy, who was leading the charge in a sense against his profession because he knew it was necessary. The bill passed almost unanimously, if not unanimously, on a strong bipartisan support in both chambers, signed by the governor. I'm proud of the STOP Act, and I think it will go a long way to reduce the opioid crisis across the state and in western North Carolina.
Thank you. Question number two for Mr. Larson. Mr. Eichert.
Thank you. Mr. Larson, would you support going back to paper ballots for all elections? It's in the bucket.
Okay, thank you. Paper ballots. I guess that gives you a paper trail to track. I'm not sure how long we want to wait for our returns. You know, we wouldn't be having many celebrations at 9:30 when CNN announces the winner. I think there's a way to protect our electoral process without returning to a paper ballot. But we need to get together and make a case. One case that just came up is in the state of Georgia, where their Secretary of State has been telling people his system's fine. Well, it's not. I'm not sure. I have trust the people in Raleigh and the State Board of Election of doing what they can, but I know in the last election we had issues in Durham. So I think the possibility is there that we need to strengthen our system, but that needs to be done between the electoral people, law enforcement, intelligence agencies.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Question number three for Representative Dobson. Mr. Roberts.
Representative, what areas of the budget would have to be cut to give teachers higher salaries?
I don't know that we would need to cut any area of the budget. We just need to continue with economic growth. The state's economy is growing, and as the state's economy continues to grow, teachers and all our state employees need to receive first priority in that budget. And that's what we'll continue to do. I'm proud of our record. I'm proud of my record in support of that. So if we can continue on a trend of low taxes, less regulation, more economic development, we won't have to cut any part of the budget, just make teachers, correctional officers, highway patrolmen, the priority, as they have been in this budget. Teachers received a raise, and one thing I'm proud of that I think maybe we fell short, I always try to be candid with you, one area we may have fell short was our longer-serving teachers. I felt like we may not have done enough for them over the years. Well, this last budget, we did more for them than we did before. Our correctional officers got a 4% raise. Our troopers got what they asked for. So if we continue with economic development, make smart fiscal decisions, and make the right investments, we can do those things.
Thank you, Representative Dobson. Question number three from Mr.
Dr. Oops, Barrett,
excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Larson.
Teacher pay is important, but that is not education. We need to forget about what we're paying our teachers, and we need to look at our per-student spending in this state. I believe we're somewhere around 35th, 37th in that range in the nation. We are the 15th wealthiest state in the nation. We need to move our student funding up so it is in the top 20%. That's going to cost a lot of money. And it's got to come from somewhere. I've estimated today, I'm imagining we're looking at $7.5 billion a year. Because we need to hire more teachers. We need to lower the class size. If you read it 16 to 1, I want you to find a school around here where that's true in every classroom. It's not. We need to fund education, raise teachers' pay, yes. We need to hire more teachers so the possibility of our students developing for careers in the 21st century is a possible and real.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Question number three for Mr. Larson. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Larson, what is your position on redistricting?
Redistricting. It's something we have to do. I have been reading about proportional redistricting, which I truly don't understand all the math that's going into it. But I do know that we have gerrymandered, and we're blaming the Republicans now, but in previous decades, the shoe was on the other foot. We need to come up with a method of forming districts that are nonpartisan, that everyone in the district is represented, and that we don't have in a state where 50% of the voters are Democrats, if you're a U.S. congressman, there's only two districts you have a chance to win in. That doesn't make sense. Locally, I don't know what redistricting would look like because you look right or left, and it's a rather red area. So it's not going to take much difference, but we need to bring in a nonpartisan, I don't know, professional people to look at the redistricting. Keep it out of the...
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Representative Dobson, question number four, Mr. Roberts.
Representative, as the national economy has improved, what would you identify as remaining challenges for North Carolina's economy, and what would you do to address them?
The first thing that always comes to my mind is access to high-speed Internet. I was watching a C-SPAN committee hearing from Washington, and this transcends our state. It's across the nation, the challenges that we have. There's a lot of talk in Raleigh about high schools online or online high schools. I said, that's great. Let's just get broadband to the rural areas first. One bill that I've introduced to do that is to say, okay, Verizon, AT&T, if you're not going to come to underserved areas where people like me live, if you're not going to come there, then let's let our counties invest in the infrastructure, and then you can partner with them so they can share some of the cost if they so choose to do so. It's something the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners have asked for, and I filed that bill, and I'll continue to do that. Now, I don't want to mislead you here. The big companies have fought me every step of the way on this issue. I will continue to fight for that. I think that's one way that we can increase access to Internet in rural underserved areas.
Thank you, Representative Dobson. Question number four from Mr. Larson. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Larson, what is your position on the expansion of Medicaid in North Carolina? And if you are in support, can you briefly detail how the cost of the expansion would be made possible and what the cost would be to the state?
I believe in the expansion of Medicaid. At the actual cost, I believe under the Affordable Care Act, then it still is position that would not be an immediate impact. It will cost the state more money down the road. But we need, it's costing us not to insure people. If we wait till the uninsured without preventive medicine has that tumor that needs to be operated on or they're going to die within 6 months, or that heart condition, when they go to the hospital and they're a non-payer, somebody's paying. We're either paying through insurance, or if there's tax money involved in running some hospitals, we're paying. So don't be fooled that it's just, you know, that's money that just came out of the air. So we need to expand Medicaid, and we need to do it immediately.
Representative Dobson.
Thank you. I just want to touch a little bit on that. Two things I think we need to be careful of. One, the expansion of Medicaid is not a silver bullet to solve all our health care woes across this country and across this state. I think if we can get more people covered, that's going to help. But that is not a magic bullet. So we need to keep that in mind. Having said that, Howard and I don't disagree that we need to cover more people. We just maybe slightly see it a different way. I've proposed with three other Republicans in the House something called Carolina Cares that covers those people, but at no cost to the state. It's a plan. I'd be glad to talk to you more about it. 90% federal, 10% that the hospitals and those nonprofit healthcare organizations pay with no cost to the state, but it covers the same people. So we need to increase access. We need to cover more people. We just have a slight disagreement maybe on how to do that.
Thank you. Question number 5 for Representative Dobson. Mr. Roberts.
Representative, will you introduce legislation to end the yearly requirement of inspection of motor vehicles?
I'll just say this on that one. That's a big issue to someone who would ask that question. I understand that. So I'll be careful. I'll be careful on this one. I'll just say that. I think we need to be careful of just simple fixes to things. Or if we just do this, then this solves that. So before I would answer that question, I would need to know more about the details of it. What the effects would be, how it would be, what the changes would need to be, what the cost would be. There's a lot of things to that. And I said this the other night. Simplistic solutions are rarely available for complex problems. So I would need to know more information before I committed to something like that.
Thank you. Question number 5 for Mr. Larson. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Larson, urban areas of North Carolina, Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham, Greensboro, etc., are growing more than the rural areas. What, if anything, should the state do to help attract some growth to some of the more rural areas, the smaller areas?
One thing that needs to be done, as we've discussed on both of us all evening, is broadband. We need to expand it into our areas so businesses can compete with their urban competitors. We need to look at education. I'm going to go back to schooling. We have timber here. We have minerals here. We're real good about developing and using our resources, except for our most major resource, and that's our youth. We need to fund schools that students, when they graduate, they're ready to go to college and be competitive the first day. Right now, North Carolina ranks 33rd in the nation in doing that. More importantly, maybe even than that, we need to come up with a vocational system in our public schools that a student that doesn't want to go to college for whatever reason can come out and be competitive in a 21st century career, knowing how to frame a house, lay a foundation, maybe coming out as a welder with several certificates.
Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Certificates.
Now for the closing statements, we'll begin with Representative Dobson.
I have to say again, it's been the honor of my life to serve in the North Carolina General Assembly. I don't take that for granted, and I don't take it lightly. I said this the other night, and I'll say it again. I do believe people are hungry for a new kind of politics that sets ideology aside and says, let's do the common good for the people that we represent. And my record has showed that over the last 6 years, and I'm proud of it. Now, I don't want there to be any illusions here tonight. I am a conservative Republican. My voting record reflects that on things like pro-life, pro-gun, those types of things. But I don't understand the corners that we put each other in and say if you're pro-gun, then you can't also be public education. I tend to think you can be both. And public education worked for me, it worked for my wife, and it's working for my daughter. That's the kind of representative I've wanted to be, and that's the kind of representative I've tried to be. And if I'm fortunate enough to be selected, that's the kind of representative I'll be again. So thank you for allowing me to be here.
Thank you. Closing statement, Mr. Larson.
This is my first race. It will be my last race. I did not enter into it with a lot of enthusiasm. I entered into it because someone called me from Raleigh and said, we need a candidate. And I said, I'm going to do it. But if my name's going to be on the ballot, I am going to make an effort to do my best to be a competitive candidate. Josh Dobson is not a bad man. I agree with some of the things he actually says. Second Amendment, you couldn't slide a piece of paper between our beliefs. I would go into a more thorough background check and hold gun owners liable if they're not keeping their guns in a safe and secure manner. But otherwise, we're on the same page. I do worry about a General Assembly that will pass the bill about gay marriage or gay or transgender in the bathroom, or it's in the state constitution and it's a man and a woman. Who cares? They're people. We're all people. I'll tell you what, I know a lot of heterosexuals that are abusive spouses, male and female. I'd rather have a gay couple that got along with each other than every Saturday night fight because somebody had their six-pack too early. We need to look at what we're doing in this state, get it as progressive as we can. And this is a wealthy state. We need to move that we are not infringing on people's rights to vote. We need to make sure that everyone has medical coverage. We need to get our schools to being the best in the nation. That will pay for itself down the road with increased attraction of business and individuals to this state. I would thank you for hearing me tonight, and it's been a pleasure getting to know Josh. I must say, pretty soon we're going to go out and have an adult beverage.
Thank you, gentlemen. The third group, Mitchell County Commissioners, each candidate will be asked three questions. They also will have an opening and a closing statement. They also have blue cards as well. So we'll start in alphabetical order with the opening statement. Will you please be quiet in the back? I don't want to call names.
Yeah. Come on, Howard. We're trying to get started up here.
All right. Mr. Buchanan, if you will, please, your opening statement, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Dan. Hello and good evening. My name is Aaron Foster Buchanan. I am a son of hardworking mountain people and a native of Spruce Pine, North Carolina. My wife, Grace, and I have 4 super fantastic children, and we are so proud to call this place, Mitchell County, our home. And we're proud to raise our children here. As the independent candidate for county commissioner, I believe that we can make this a safe place for our children and the young adults coming of age here. We can and we should provide for their recreation, their education, and their imagination in all the best and most equitable ways possible. My wife and I own and operate a small business in downtown Spruce Pine, Fox and the Fig. We know the struggles and the challenges to support yourself and a family in this community. When we talk about dependable work and good job opportunities, we have right here in Mitchell County a network of small, creative, locally owned businesses that must be supported. These small business people and those they employ are integral to this community and to its future. And lastly, it's our responsibility for those of us that share this place and call it home to take care of it, now and for the years to come. Our children breathe this mountain air. We fish and we play in its rivers. We drink the water. We eat the food grown in its soil. We've got to keep our air and water clean and our soil healthy here in Mitchell County. We are independent mountain people, whether you grew up here or you chose to live here. It's time to come together and work for all the things that we believe in. We are stronger together. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Karen. Mr. Grindstaff.
Thank you, Dr. Dan and Patty and the chamber, as well as Brandon and Bruce with the paper and the radio station. I am Vern Grindstaff. I am the incumbent running for my seat back on the Mitchell County Board of Commissioners. I have been humbled and honored to serve every citizen of Mitchell County for the last 4 years on the Board of Commissioners in Mitchell County. I consider Mitchell County the greatest place on the face of this earth. I was born here, reared here, still live here, and am thankful to do so. I will stand on my record as a commissioner in Mitchell County for the last 4 years. We've made numerous investments in Mitchell County, from public education, putting an iPad in every child's hand from kindergarten to 12th grade, to investing in our emergency services through the acquisition and grant of $2 million for a new 911 center that's currently under construction, to taking over the Department of Social Services board, and as of today, saving $1.6 million to taxpayers in Mitchell County through our Health and Human Services Department in Mitchell County. We've reduced the number of foster children from 93 to around 53 in that length of time. Children are going through the court system. They're being adopted, getting placed in families, and their lives are being strengthened because of that. We're continuing to work toward improving Mitchell County. We have raised our tax collection rate from 94.2% to 96.6% in 4 years. I want to continue this work for you. I'm humbled to serve you and look forward to continuing to serve every citizen of Mitchell County if you reelect me. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you. Mr. Coran. In alphabetical order.
Monday? Okay. Good evening. I'm Bruce Coran, and I am, as you know, a candidate for county commission. You can see there are five people sitting here behind this table. Three of us will serve on the county commission. Only one of the five is an actual incumbent, and the rest of us are people that are basically new to politics. So I think the issue here is who do you vote for? Who can you trust to make the decisions that are important to the citizens of Mitchell County? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my background and help you maybe understand where I come from and what my qualifications are. I've been a resident of Mitchell County now for about 10 years. I'm on the board of the Historical Society. I'm also a member of the Bakersville Improvement Group, and I would say a participating member. And as an aside, I would ask you if you want to consider my decision-making qualities, you might talk to anybody on those particular members of those particular organizations can give you an idea. Before I came to Mitchell County, I was an attorney. I'm retired now. I'm not a member of the Bar Association of North Carolina or Florida where I practiced. I was a criminal lawyer in Pensacola, Florida for 35 years. During that period of time, I handled a number of really serious cases, including a number of capital murder cases. I had to make decisions on those cases that literally could mean a difference between life or death for my client. These were very important decisions, and I had to think very carefully. During that period of time, I believe it helped me become much more mature and be able to make the kind of decisions that are important. When you consider somebody who's going to be a county commissioner, you don't really know much about what their decision-making ability is. And I would suggest that I have become mature and I have learned how to make tough decisions. There's a budget that has to be considered, and I think I'm qualified to make those decisions.
Thank you, Mr. Coran. Sorry for the confusion, but we're in alphabetical order, supposed to be. Mr. Harding.
That's why I got confused, Dan.
I didn't think you liked me, Dan.
No, I didn't. Never mind.
I didn't catch on to that.
Thank you, folks, for being here tonight, to the chamber and to the panelist guys over here. My name's Jeff Harding. I'm a 59-year-old small business owner. seeking my first term as a Mitchell County Commissioner. This is not my first rodeo in politics. I served 8 years on Mitchell County Board of Education and made tough decisions for the betterment and the education of our children. My wife and I, 36 years, live in Spruce Pine, and we are the parents of four children. Jeffrey Jr. and his wife, Whitney, in Spruce Pine, Jameson Ted, wife Tiffany, and our two grandchildren, Cannon James Harding and Avery Grace Harding of Las Vegas, Nevada. Our two beautiful daughters, age 7, Chantel Joy and Lindsay Elizabeth Harding, that God blessed us with 4 years ago through the beautiful process of adoption. I have chosen to run for this office because I love Mitchell County. I love where I live. It's a great place to raise your children. Our older son's got a great education in this county. I am committed to the future and the citizens of Mitchell County. I want my daughters, your children, your grandchildren, if they so choose, they have a place to come back to, they have a place to live, they have a place to work, and they have a place to raise a family, because we have great things to offer here, folks. To make this happen, everybody in this community must work together.
Thank you, Mr. Harding. Mr. Pittman, opening statement, please.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out here tonight to participate in democracy. It's a great thing. Whether which side of the fence you're on, it's a privilege that we have in this country to be able to come out and vote. So thank you all for coming and participating. My name's Steve Pittman. I'm just thinking my first term. Lifelong resident of Mitchell County. My mom and dad, Jerry and Becky Pittman, grew up here, been here all their lives. I'm married to Chastity Buchanan, and she's an insurance agent in Spruce Pine. Got a little girl named Harper. She's in kindergarten at Greenlee. A little bit about myself. Love Mitchell County schools. Went to North Carolina State, got a degree in biological engineering. I work in Baxter Healthcare in Marion, North Carolina, and very thankful for it. I never thought that, to be honest with you, I never thought I'd get a chance to come back to Mitchell County because, I didn't know what Mitchell County had to offer. And, I think every day, thank God every day that I'm able to work here, and I hope that one day my daughter will be able to work here, and your kids, grandkids, and that gets done by us working together and making good decisions and, working hard with legislators, with industry, with all different types of people to, tout our county. And you've got to cheerlead for it. You've got to go work for it. You got to go get it. And, I've been a go-getter all my life, and that's what I'll do for Mitchell County. I can't say enough about the people of Mitchell County, and I'm just, thankful for the opportunity. So,
thank you very much. Now, we will, again, have three questions, and they will be in alphabetical order. And I have no problem with Mr. Harding. I just want the record to show that. Okay, first question for Mr. Buchanan. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Buchanan, explain how you see the role and the purpose of economic development in Mitchell County.
So, my understanding of economic development in this community hinges on the question of, and we've heard it here earlier in tonight and several of the questions already asked, but it's a question on inviting outside interest here in the community to create jobs and career opportunities for our people. And There's also the opportunity that we have to nurture, support, and foster that economic development from within, from our creative, small, local, independent business community. So I think that these two must work in concert together. One cannot be prioritized over the other. I, for one, believe that we cannot depend on outside investors or industries and institutions, whether they're not for profit.
Thank you, Mr. Buchanan. Mr. Grindstaff's first question, Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Grindstaff, what will you do to rein in the DSS budget that is double that of neighboring counties and thereby reduce the most recent tax increase?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, Bruce. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think that my record shows an investment into the interest of our local DSS. I am proud of what DSS has done, especially in the last 2 years since the Board of Commissioners chose to take over that board. They have worked very cooperatively with us. As I mentioned in my opening statements, we have saved, as of today, $1.6 million in the DSS budget. How did we do that? We started out by finding an attorney that we could work with that would not charge us upwards of $170,000 a year. We continued that process by the attorney we hired working cases through the court system instead of letting them sit stagnant in the court system. Our DSS started staffing those cases better than what they were. And so by doing that, we allowed children to get placed in homes instead of staying in the system and moving forward with that. And we will continue to do those things.
Mr. Karam.
I just want to say this. As Mr. Grindstaff is aware, the County Commissioner report, which talked about the issues with DSS, and DSS has been a problem. It has been a problem before the county took it over. It's been a problem after the county took it over. Right now, one of the most important decisions the county commission or the county is going to have to make is who the new director for DSS will be. The report that Mr. Grindstaff has seen indicates morale has been low, job turnover has been high, and services have not been optimal. We need to make sure that this is not the case. It has to be improved. We need a good director. We need the something that's going to have to be looked at very carefully, and I think it's important that we be aware of that and that the county make the right decision.
Thank you. Mr. Grindstaff.
My friend Mr. Karan speaks the truth, but Rome was not built in a day. Things take time. We continue to work toward those things, and he is correct. We do have an opening for a DSS director at this time, and that will be a strategic move on the Board of Commissioners as who we can hire to administrate over that particular entity in this county. But to his point, we are continuing to make strides and efforts every day in making our DSS department better than what it was. We're moving forward. Morale is much, much, much better than what it was 2 years ago, and I think you could ask any employee up there that question, and they would in turn tell you that things are getting better.
Thank you. Question number one for Mr. Karan. I believe that's Mr. Roberts.
Dan.
Alphabetical order. What?
H comes before K.
What?
H comes before K.
He's a librarian, too.
I got my degree from Clemson.
Not a word. Not a word.
Who sent me this agenda? Anyway, never mind. Never mind. My fault for not reading the agenda. Question number one for Mr. Jeff Hardy. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Harding, do you support a YMCA or county-run recreational facility?
I think we've beat this dog for about 10 or 12 years talking about it. It came out with a Cooper plan years ago that recreation was a key to recruiting industry in any county, and that was in the top five. During that time, we've done nothing. We came out and we had a Y. Room was full of the meeting. Since then, it is fizzled. I will say this. It does not matter to me if it's a YMCA or if it's a properly run countywide recreation facility. We need something in this county, and that is one of my top priorities if elected, is to sit down with the other commissioners and weigh the pros and the cons of a rec center versus a Y, then make a decision and do not piecemeal it. Build it like we want it.
Thank you very much. Question number one for Mr. Coran in alphabetical order. Mr. Eichert, I understand that comes after H-I-K, too. Okay.
You got it.
All right.
This would be Bruce to Bruce.
That's correct. Bruce to Bruce.
Mr. Coran, what is the role of a county commissioner, and should a county commissioner be involved in the day-to-day activities of running the county?
Well, no. Actually, I don't believe that's... I think that's why you have staff, and that's why you have a county manager. The county commission needs to oversee what's going on. They need to be in charge of considering the budget, which is a full-time job practically in itself. I know the county commissioners have gone over our budgets line by line, trying to find ways to move money into different areas. How the money is spent, where it's spent, those are important factors. As far as day-to-day running of the county, that's why you hire good staff. That's why you have a county manager.
Thank you very much. Question number one for Mr. Pittman. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Pittman, the home rental market in Mitchell County is at a crisis point with little to no available rental properties on the market. The lack of available affordable housing affects the ability to recruit young families, entrepreneurs, retirees, and others to stay in the county. What could the county do to address this issue?
So I've thought a lot about this. I mean, I'm in contact with a lot of different folks across the area and a lot of young folks that are looking for places to go, and it's really sad that people don't consider Mitchell County when they think about where to live, because just like Janet was saying, to me it's a privilege to live here, and we're very lucky to have this this place. I think we need to introduce tax breaks for new families that come here that could, you know, give them incentive to move to this place, to come here and say, okay, you don't have to pay taxes for 5 years. Make stiff penalties if you decide to sell your house and you leave, but offer incentives to come to the area to make it your home. Because I think what's going to happen once we start getting people in the area, they're going to realize how wonderful this place is and what it's got to offer. I think it's a...
Thank you very much. Question number two from Mr. Buchanan. Bruce.
Do you believe that the acquisition of Mission Hospital, including Blue Ridge Regional Hospital, by HCA, will benefit the people of Mitchell County, and why or why not?
Well, here's what I do know about the acquisition of Blue Ridge and Mission. There's a lot of talk about this in our community right now. It's been a process. I think Mission had this planned for a long time. At the beginning of the conversation of closing labor and delivery, I think they already had the idea of selling this hospital here, the regional hospital, and cutting our services. HCA is only contracted to keep the hospital open here in our community for 5 years, the emergency room for 10 years. So I'm not expecting a lot from HCA, to be honest with you. I think, you know, what brings me hope is talking to a friend of mine, Calvin Hall, who went around this community and raised support from families in this community to build that hospital. And we can do it again.
Thank you. Question number two for Mr. Grindstaff. Brandon.
Commissioner, would you create and support a noise ordinance for Mitchell County that will control loud music, slash parties, and barking dogs?
No.
Say
Give it up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Harding, question number two. I believe this is Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Harding, tax dollars pay the salaries of Mitchell County commissioners. Is it important to ensure that commissioners attend all scheduled meetings as well as committee meetings assigned to them? How many absences are excusable?
I think if you make a commitment to be an elected official, you need to attend the meetings. If you don't attend the meetings, you have no clue what's going on. You're not representing the citizens that have elected you to do this job. I think if you miss your meetings, you should not receive payment unless there are certain things. You know, you've got death, you've got sickness, but that's only two reasons. Just to lay out and not come to a meeting is not proper. Now, I have no idea what this commission board gets paid, but here's what I have committed to do with half of my money. I'm going to create two scholarships to Mitchell High School, one for a male, one for a female, and one scholarship to Mayland Community College as long as I sit on this board. I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this to try to be a servant and offer a service to the citizens of this county.
Question number two from Mr. Coran. Mr. Roberts. Thank you.
Mr. Coran, what do you think of the county's Board of Education having its own tax base similar to the county fire departments?
I don't have any real thoughts on that right now, to be perfectly honest about it. I have never really considered that. I mean, it's something that one of the things that I think is important is the ability to consider ideas and to make decisions based on that. If I am elected, I will consider that, and I will make a decision based on what I think is physically appropriate. So I have no answer at this point. And I do want to add one thing just based on from the last question. I'm not running for this office for money either. Any money I receive from Mitchell County for this job is going to go to a charitable organization. I'm not planning on taking a penny.
Thank you. Question number two for Mr. Pittman. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Pittman, a growing population of young people in their 20s and 30s are choosing to live and work in Mitchell County. How can Mitchell County continue to draw young people to move to the area?
Well, I think we have to provide them with jobs. I think we have to provide them with places to live. And I do think we have to help them. I mean, it's tough when you're starting out and you just got out of college and you got plenty of debt that you wouldn't really plan. When you're signing all these forms, when you're going through college, you don't really understand what all that means until you start getting that bill in the mail on the other side of it. So I think we need to, you know, help any way we can. For me, it's personal because I think I see so many people coming to work, and you know, it's a revolving door, and I think that goes with industry across not only Mitchell County, but across Western North Carolina. And we've got to partner with our local. We've got a great resource in Mayland Community College. We need to get people there that are being trained to do trade jobs that can walk right into industry and be a contributor. So,
thank you, Mr. Coran.
I just want to say this: jobs are the most important thing. The reason why kids are leaving this area, they graduate high school, they go to college, they don't come back. Our population shrinks, the schools shrink, the economy of the area is the key. We have to work hard to improve the economy. It's just that simple. We can do that by trying to bring in businesses. We can do this by trying to work with small entrepreneurs. There are lots of ways to do it. And I know that people have been thinking about this and trying to work this out, but it's important that we make the decisions that will actually bring people into this county and want to stay here. That's the critical thing. That's one of the most important reasons I'm running, is to try to help build the economy, and that's really what I'm committed to do.
Thank you. Question number three for Mr. Buchanan. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Buchanan, what role can Mitchell County play in addressing the opioid crisis?
I think the county can do a lot to address this issue. You know, the opioid crisis has unfortunately been a crisis, not just in our recent history, but for a long time in our community. It's affected family and friends close to myself. And I think the best way that the county can take on this crisis is to partner with everyone. We need all voices at the table. We need to have partnerships between folks like the new initiatives that are coming out down from the state level to the county level that are ecumenical, that are faith-based, that are grassroots. And I think the most important thing is that we work together on this and we lay the facts out and we come together as a community.
Thank you. Mr. Curran first, and then Mr. Grindstaff.
Folks, I was a public defender for 35 years. I dealt with people that had serious drug problems. It is a very difficult problem to solve. Now, I know they have started a drug court problem in a drug court program in this area, and I can tell you, of all the things that I've seen through the judicial system, drug courts are probably the most effective. I worked in drug court, and I was able to see the progress that was made. That and treatment are the only options that are available. It's a very hard problem to solve, and all we can do is work at it incrementally and try our best to help the folks that we know are addicts.
Mr. Grindstaff.
Thank you, Dan. As far as the opioid issue in Mitchell County Board of Commissioners in the last year especially have taken great strides in that as well. We did invest in Drug Court. This is a three-county partnership with Yancey and Madison County. Drug Court will be available hopefully within the next 6 months in Mitchell County, at least on a one-day-per-week basis, if not hopefully more. We have also partnered very closely with Celebrate Recovery Partnership at Bear Creek Baptist Church to reach out to people to help them get into that program. We also signed on with a class action lawsuit nationwide to hold accountable doctors who are overprescribing opioids, and Mitchell County is a part of that. We have made the investment. We will continue to make the investment because someone we love, someone we care for, is affected by this issue, and I promise you that.
Thank you. Mr. Harding.
You know, Mitchell County's not alone with this crisis. It's worldwide. And I think we start early in our schools. And we work together as county commissioners, along with our law enforcement, along with our Board of Education. And if the funding has to come from Mitchell County Board of Commissioners, then it needs to come from there. But we need to start at a young age with our children, letting them see and knowing what the results are going to be when or if they choose to do this. We've got to do this at a young age. I don't think you do it start at middle school. I think you start it at a young age. And as you move up through the age, then the love gets a little bit tougher. You know, you don't sugarcoat the problem. You bring reality in and let them see this is the results of what's going to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Harding. Question number three for Mr. Grindstaff. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Grindstaff, do you believe the county has a role to play in developing the local economy? If so, what programs or actions should the county government utilize to support economic development?
I absolutely believe that's the case, Bruce. Mitchell County has made great investments in our Economic Development Commission in the last couple of years especially. We have partnered with EDC to provide funding, and I do want to point that out to everyone here as EDC has become such a big discussion. The county is solely responsible for investing monies in economic development. That funding comes from nowhere else except the county budget. We've made those investments. We will continue to make those investments. We have new businesses coming into Mitchell County. If you read the wonderful news journal today, on the front page there's an article about a cafe that's coming to Lore Street and Spruce Pine. I'm proud to say that we had hands-on involvement with that. We're continuing to make those investments. And our new economic development director, Mickey Duvall, I work with him very closely and talk with him at least once every 2 days about opportunities that he can reach out to people to bring new industry as well as small business, which is the backbone of Mitchell County, into Mitchell County.
Thank you. Mr. Harding first.
I think for us to be successful, everyone has to work together, as I've said before. I think we work with your EDC, but I think we take it one step further. We have two towns here. I think you also work with the town of Spruce Pine and their town council. I think you work with the town of Bakersville and their town council. And we all work together to offer incentives. We must, as a commission board, have goals. We must have a needs list. We must have a wants list. And we got to know how we're going to get there. If you don't have a goal, you don't have anything to reach. You don't have anywhere to go. I'm a big sponsor of small business. I think small business is the heartbeat of America. And my wife and I just opened another small business in Spruce Pine. Incentives would go a great way to help and recruit small or large business to come into the area, and we need to work on that.
Thank you. Mr. Buchanan.
Thank you. As far as economic development goes, as I was saying earlier, we alone, the people of this community, and especially the county commissioners, we have the right and the duty to foster creative and collaborative economic and community development programs. Again, we cannot depend on outside investors, industries, and institutions to set the terms for our survival as a community. As a small business owner, there's been no one knocking on my door to offer me incentives. There are established businesses in this community that could use help, and there's plenty of businesses that could take on more employees. So, and all of us know that for an EDC or Economic Development Board to offer tax, building, or land incentives to outside investors, that does free up capital for them. But it also makes it easy for them to pick up the stakes and move on out. So we got to invest locally. Thank you.
Thank you. Question number three for Mr. Harding. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Harding, should entities that receive money from the county have to regularly update the Board of Commissioners on how that money is spent?
Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that any agency, any group that receives money from Mitchell County Commissioners need to attend meetings, give a report, good, bad, ugly, how's your budget, what are your needs. If we don't know what's going on with those folks, we as a commission board all don't know how to fund it. And also, our citizens in the community have no idea with what's going on either. So I think it's very important that if we fund an agency, that they do come to the meetings at least once a quarter, if not once a month, and give a report to that board on what they're doing and how their money is spent.
Thank you. Question number three for Mr. Coran. Mr. Iker.
Mr. Coran, what can the county do communications-wise, including social media, to better reach the diverse communities of Mitchell County and young people to get them more interested in the county?
Could you just say that one more time?
Yes. What can the county do communications-wise, including through social media, to better reach the diverse communities of Mitchell County and young people and get them more interested in the county?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that there's been a revolution in social media, and I think it's also extremely clear that folks from all levels of government, from the top on down, use social media extensively. So it's important that the county be aware of that, and it's important that the county's message come out. We have to communicate and let people know what we're doing. There was an editorial in the News Journal recently involving the town of Bakersville, which had to do with the fact that Bakersville was not letting people know what was going on. So I think it's extremely important that the county be aware of that, and we have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter. So I think it's important that that we use all those media channels.
Thank you. Mr. Pittman.
I think one thing that's really important that we have to consider is that we need broadband for this area. I mean, as I was traveling around putting up signs in places I hadn't been in a long time, down in Relief and Poplar and to the northern end of the county, I mean, there is a lot of homes in this area that needs that access to broadband, and I think that we've got to work as commissioners to do whatever it takes to make that happen. I don't know what that means. I mean, I'm new to the party, but I know how things work, and we've got to make that commitment to our citizens, because I know kids now are being asked to do homework through broadband, and you know, a lot of kids don't have that opportunity. So we need to be very cognizant of each member of Mitchell County and provide a low-cost solution for them.
Thank you. Question number three for Mr. Pittman. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Pittman, it's true that social media is being utilized, but upwards of 90% of the time, social media is used to link back to an article that originated in print. How important is it to have an open line of communication for all levels of government to the local media?
I think as a public servant, you're accountable to not only local media, but to social media and how you carry yourself day to day and what you're posting on social media. So, that as a public servant, I think it's even more important that you are realize what you're putting out there and that you're working with local entities like yourself with the paper, social media, to make sure that everybody gets the same message. Communication is the most important thing, in my opinion, that we as human beings can do, especially as county commissioners. I think so much stuff gets lost in translations because you don't have a good communicator, and you've got to utilize all those outlets to make sure that everyone's receiving the same message. So,
thank you very much, gentlemen. We now go to the closing statements. Mr. Buchanan.
Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you, Chamber of Commerce and our panel. Thank you, Dan, our orator. Thanks to Roy Seen and Lori and the Board of Elections downstairs. They've helped me make this my way through this no man's land of unaffiliated candidates. And thank you to the people of this community. I had no idea how this would all shake out. To the people of this county that signed my petition back in the spring, we made history. You put the first unaffiliated candidate ever on any Mitchell County ballot. We did it with your support, which energized and sustained me for the last 8 months out there on this campaign trail. We got some big things on the horizon. School consolidation, which we didn't talk about tonight. Sale of our hospital. Expanding 4-lane. When I'm out there in the community talking to people, they're feeling apathetic. They're feeling hopeless. They're feeling powerless. People all over this county feel like this current board isn't listening to them. My hope, if I am elected, is to empower our people again, to help them feel heard again. On November 6th, let's make history. Vote Aaron Foster Buchanan, the first independent Mitchell County Commissioner, because we are stronger together. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Grindstaff, closing statement.
I would like to say thank you to each one who took your time this evening to come out and hear the candidates for your local as well as state elected offices. I would like to think that as I look out across this audience, and I know about 99% of you personally, that you would feel like in the last 4 years you have had my ear. I have done everything in my power to be visible, to be transparent, to be accountable, and to hear you, the citizens of Mitchell County. I've taken your issues back to our board. I've taken them very seriously, and I've invested my heart in Mitchell County. I would like to continue to do that. None of us do this for pay. The chairman of the Mitchell County Board of Commissioners makes $725 a month. A board member makes $525 a month. We do this because we love this county, because we love you. I would humbly ask for your support and your vote and your confidence once again to continue my hard work for every citizen of Mitchell County. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. Mr. Harding, closing statement.
Thank you for coming out. I think you've got five good men sitting here for three seats. Choice is going to be yours here very shortly to vote for who you choose. I hope I'm one of them. Even though this is a political seat, I'm anything but a politician. I'm a working citizen. I'm a down-to-earth guy. I make no promises to anyone, and I'm all about accountability. I believe people need to do their job. Sometimes I'm straightforward, and regretfully, a lot of times I'm very blunt. But what you see with me is what you get. I'm not going to tell you anything to get your vote. I'm going to shoot you straight forward. My political campaign is fairly simple if you look at my card. Business and people, not politics. Folks, we're running a business here, and it's all about you people. You're the one that elects. You're the folks that bring your complaints to us. You financially support what we do in this county. A strong voice for all of Mitchell County. I don't care where you live, how much money you make, the color of your skin, male or female, we're all equal. And that's how I look at it. And lastly, elderly, education, entrepreneurship. We just received $15 million from Raleigh to build a new school. It's up to the commissioners to find the rest of the money or apply for the money to do this. This is one of the biggest things that's taken place in Mitchell County in years. We owe it to our community. We owe it to our citizens. We owe it to our students. We take care of our elderly because they've already paid the due, and we create the way for entrepreneurship, small businesses or large. Let's all work together.
Thank you, Mr. Harding. Mr. Grand, closing statement.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. First, I'd like to say that Vern is correct. We don't do this for the money. We do this for the love of the county. Jeff is correct. There are five good men sitting here behind this table. Three of us will become county commissioners. I've been living here for 10 years. I've grown to love Mitchell County. I'm planning to stay here for the rest of my life. I like to serve the people of Mitchell County. As you know, I'm the only Democrat that's running, and I might as well hit the nail on the head. I know there are people here and people in this county that would not vote for a Democrat if you put a gun at their head. But I'd like to say this. One of my best friends in this area is Jack Dellinger. Jack and I politically are probably on the exact opposite pole. Jack is a supporter of mine. You'll see my signs out in front of the mill. Jack knows that this job is not political in that sense. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, you don't want snow on the roads. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, you want good schools. I believe that my experience as an attorney, making tough decisions, looking at facts, having good judgment, would be an asset to this county. I would really appreciate your support, and I believe that I can make a difference, and I can be a good trustee for your votes. So I would ask you to support me. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope that you can make a good decision for all of us when you vote in November.
Thank you. Mr. Pittman, closing statement.
I'll echo what everybody else said. I thank you all for coming out tonight. I know probably got a lot of better things to do on a Tuesday night for a couple hours, but thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to us. I would ask for your vote in November. I will promise you that I will work hard for Mitchell County. I want us to stop seeing our number one resource leave this county, and that's our kids. You know, that's the biggest resource we got. So we got to invest in them, help them be successful in however, any way we can. I promise you I will work hard to do that. I want to thank each of these guys for, you know, putting their name in the pot for a position in public office and all the candidates here tonight. It's been a rewarding experience. It's been very interesting. I never dreamed it had as much things going on with it as it did. So I just ask for your vote in November. And, you know, if you want anything if you need to talk about anything or you've got things that you'd like to talk to me about, you know, feel free to call me. Door is always open. I'd love to talk to you. So thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen, for being a great example of civil political discourse. Thank you. Thank you. You can stand up, but don't go anywhere, please. Board of Education, please come to the front and be seated. Board of Education candidates, please come to the front. Mr. Drum, Mr. Pittman, Ms. Sparks, Mr. Wilson. Thank you very much. A couple things. Ms. Burleson, Ms. Angie Burleson had a medical emergency, is not going to be able to be with us. Brandon Pittman is at a conference somewhere on the coast. And Chris Pittman is not able to be with us because his corporation does not allow him to serve in a public office. And Kathy Young, again, we learned just before the issues, or just before the evening, that she also had a medical emergency. So we have Mr. Drum, we have Ms. Sparks, we have Mr. Wilson. Each will have four questions. They'll also have an opening closing statement. If you'd like any questions, if not, Mr. Drum.
Thank you. For those who don't know me, my name is Tim Drum. I have lived in Mitchell County since 1983. I taught band here for 28 years. Also taught chorus, K-5 music, computer lab, pretty much whatever they asked me to do. I was very fortunate after 1 year of teaching in Catawba County to be invited to come up and interview in Mitchell County. I did not realize what a joy teaching could be until I got to work with the students in Mitchell County. They are the best, and the reason they are the best is because you have raised your children. I say that because I truly believe that. I had a not very pleasant experience before I came here dealing with people who did not know how to raise their children. And children here want to learn. I have been married to my wife now for 39 years. Sharon also taught music and is retired. I have two children, Tim and Stephanie. Tim is married to the former Kristen Ledford and has, we have one granddaughter, 3-year-old Harper. And Stephanie is married to Jacob Edwards. And they both work at Western, even though he's from Appalachian State. So we've got one of each in the family. I appreciate you coming out. I thank all of you for listening to us, and I am grateful to those who sponsored this event.
Thank you, Mr. Drum. Ms. Sparks, opening statement.
Well, first of all, I am the only woman here tonight as a candidate. And I think that's pretty important. But I also consider myself to be a pretty unique candidate for Mitchell County Board of Education. First thing is, I'm a lifelong resident of Mitchell County, And I am a 30-year career teacher in Mitchell County. And like Mr. Drum, who taught with me, I am a music teacher. And I taught in every school in Mitchell County, Bakersville and Spruce Pine. And I have four grandchildren that I'm very proud of who are enrolled in Mitchell County schools. I have no agendas. I have nothing except love for Mitchell County and Mitchell County schools. And I know what these schools have produced, and I know what we can do. We do more with less than any other school system I have ever seen. We're a small county, but our teachers are so dedicated and work so hard. And I love Mitchell County schools, and I want to be on this Board of Education to help our schools. I'm very interested in this new school that's going to be built. I am the mother of two sons, Grant and Craig Sparks, and they both went to Mitchell County schools and then went on to get master's degrees and work in our county. My son Grant is the counselor at Mitchell High School, and my son Craig is on the research and development at Sebelco. So I'm very proud of them. And then I have Oliver and Charlie and Evie Ray and Cullen, and they all go to school here. And then my daughter-in-laws are Michelle Sparks and Quincy Sparks, and Michelle teaches at Harris Middle School. So you can see that I have vested interests in this county. And I'm proud that my grandchildren are enrolled in Mitchell County's public schools. They don't go to Montessori school or church-supported schools, which that's fine. But we have to
thank you, Ms. Sparks. Mr. Wilson,
opening statement.
Okay, thank you, Dan. I grew up in Mitchell County. For all of you that may not know me, I grew up here, graduated from Bowman High School, and I then attended college, Mississippi State, and got my undergraduate, and my graduate degree there. I taught in high school and coached for 6 years. Both Georgia and North Carolina, taught and coached in college for 2.5 years, and then I started a career with Converse Athletic Shoes in sales and marketing promotions, followed by sales management and managed the southern region for Converse. Then I started my own independent agency, and I've just, thank goodness, I've retired this summer from that. I am a full-time Christmas tree farmer now. That's all I do. I used to be part-time, but now I'm full-time. My wife, Betty, worked at Googe Elementary for, I don't know, 15 or 16 years, primarily in the kindergarten arena, hugging children every day when they came through the doors. My children both graduated from Mitchell High School, and like Brenda, I have four grandchildren, two on the on deck circle, but two already in Googe Elementary. I've got two that are a one-year-old and a four-year-old. And as you can see, because of this, I feel like I have a very important reason to see that we have the best schools in this county anywhere in the state. We have to. It is, and it's been mentioned, it's our most important resource. Our children and our grandchildren are our most important resource. And I promise that every decision that I make will be based on one thing, and that is what is best for the children.
Thank you. First question will be for Mr. Drum, Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Drum, as a school board member, from whom will you seek advice or input when weighing key decisions?
I think it's important to accept advice and seek advice from the people who have mentored you, principals that I have worked for that may be active or retired, superintendents that I've worked for. The advice of the community is very important because, after all, our product is their children. We need to know what the people in these communities think. Of course, I'll take advice from my wife because I would not sleep very well if I didn't. So there are a lot of people in Mitchell County who have a lot of really good ideas. Mitchell County is a smart place, a more successful place than people think, because they've not been here. So that's the kind of people that I would seek advice from.
Thank you. First question for Ms. Sparks. Mr. Eichert.
Ms. Sparks, how would you plan to help children with special needs and autism in Mitchell County?
Well, I think we have pretty good programs in place for special needs students and autism. I would have to investigate that a little further before I could answer that. So that's about what I can say about that.
First question for Mr. Wilson. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Wilson, what is the ideal relationship between the superintendent of schools and a school board member?
I think the ideal relationship is a partnership and a very open relationship. I would like to think with Mr. Calhoun that we would have that we would be able to, you know, if I disagree, I'm very open. My wife will probably tell you that. If I disagree, I don't hesitate to say, hey, look, in a polite way, you know, I disagree with direction here. Why are we doing this? And I think we would have that relationship. I've been working with Mr. Calhoun this past year on the Education Scholarship Fund that we established, the Mitchell County Education Foundation, and providing scholarship for graduate. And it's been a very good working relationship. But you got to have an open relationship. You got to have it with not only the superintendent, but you got to have it with the county commissioners. We work budgets together. We don't need to just be showing up at the last minute with a budget. We need to work through these things and get each other's ideas.
Question number two for Mr. Drum. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Drum, with the announcement that three schools in Mitchell County will be closed when the new school is built, what are your thoughts on what should happen to the three vacant schools?
Well, I understand that there is some interest from one of the companies in Mitchell County for Deaton Elementary. I would hate to see the other two schools that other schools that are being closed to be abandoned. There's all kinds of things that you can do as far as community centers, after school type activities, even possibility of using a school and its facilities to house, for instance, the Y, if we indeed have a Y come to Mitchell County. It is always sad to me when a local school is closed, and I have seen that happen from the county I grew up in. The elementary school that I went to was closed, and I thought that was the end of the world till I saw the facility that they're in now. So I would like to see them continue to be used.
Thank you. Question number two for Ms. Sparks. Mr. Roberts.
Ms. Sparks, why is it important to have a mix of board members rather than all members being former educators?
Would you repeat that, please?
Yeah. Why is it important to have a mix of Board of Education members rather than all members being former educators?
Well, you have to bring different perspectives. I mean, I myself have been involved in business and the arts. I'm a potter. But you've got to have business people being on a school board and building this new school. I mean, you've got to have some smarts. You can't just be an educator. So I think it would be important to have people from all across the board, anything, all kinds of walks of life and perspectives and business experience, which I have.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson, number two, question number two, Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Wilson, do you support the arming of teachers and other school personnel with firearms to ensure the safety of our students? And if not, what are your plans to ensure safety in our schools?
I think, and probably all of us think, safety is key. Probably didn't used to be when I was in school. I mean, you know, so-and-so got in a fight out back, you know, that was the worst thing that happened. Somebody got their nose bloody. But we have to be very concerned today, situation, the world we live in, on safety. I would not arm teachers. I taught for too many years, some wonderful teachers, but also some teachers that I would be afraid to go to school if they had a gun.
So what we need to do, we need to spend the money wisely. We need to work with Sheriff Street and his men and get his advice. You know who's the expert in that? He is. And his deputies. School resource officers. We need to be sure we have qualified, certified, on top of it every second of the day to do this duty. Pay me to coach, but don't pay me to carry the gun to school.
Thank you. Question number three for Mr. Drum. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Drum, do you support the Common Core curriculum?
I think the Common Core curriculum is a good idea. I do like to see that we all are teaching the same thing. I do believe, on a related note, that we test our students too much, almost to the point of child abuse. But that's not going to change from a local perspective. That will have to be from a state and a federal perspective. When many of us were going to school, we took the California Achievement Test. And that was it. It wasn't terribly stressful, and students did not lose sleep over it the day before. I think we can go back to a lesser amount of testing, but as far as Common Core, I think that is important.
Thank you. Question number three for Ms. Sparks. Mr. Eichert.
Ms. Sparks, why are you running for this position, and what do you plan to accomplish?
Well, the reason I'm running for this position is very simple. I love Mitchell County. I love Mitchell County children. And I am up close and personal with both. I have no agendas. I want to see Mitchell County as good as... I want Mitchell County schools to be as good as any county schools in our state. I want our facilities to be as good. I know our teachers are as good. And that is my sole purpose in running, is because I love Mitchell County and Mitchell County schools.
Thank you. Question number three for Mr. Wilson. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Wilson, what experience do you have with complicated budgets? For instance, if you're given a large document, a budget for the county schools, what would be your process in determining if that budget is good for the system?
Well, when I was regional manager for Converse for the southern region, there were three regional managers to cover the country. And I had two regional managers under me and 12 or 14 salesmen. And I had to budget them every quarter, had to follow up, had to budget expenses, had to budget sales goals. And it was at that point, it was somewhere between a $50 and a $75 million business that I was running in the southern region. So I've had experience. I think that the key thing on looking at a school budget is we need to be working together with the county commissioners. And they may be doing this. This is a question I would have. They may be doing. You need to be working together with the county commissioners all along the way. No surprises, no hiccups, so that when we sit down, everyone's expecting what's coming out. And we need to employ and talk to people who are educated in specific areas, like a Stan Cook on architecture.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you. Question number four for Mr. Drum. Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Drum, do you support the decision to build a new middle school in Mitchell County?
Generally speaking, I would say yes, because of the age of the other structures and some of the problems with keeping them up to date. I do support the fact that these buildings will be handicap accessible. I support the fact that they will be centralized. The transportation will be improved, not necessarily, however, in that some students will have a longer bus ride. I really don't like that, but I do not know how much we would get into if we were to try to completely modernize these schools that are closing. It might be spending way more money than we would be spending on this school. And also, this new grade 3 through 8 school will add to the high school campus as well.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
I agree, you know, with Tim. I think there's always hesitancy. There's hesitancy on my part because I know, like it right now, talked to the Coach Dellinger at Bowman last night at the volleyball game. He had 23 boys try out for the basketball team. That's awesome. That is great. 23 people want to be a part of that program. 23 individuals. I don't know how many was at Harris, but let's say there was another 20 or 23. That's 40 to 46. Now suddenly with one school, we're going to have 12 players on a basketball team. So that's the bad part. That's the thing that bothers me. But I don't think there's any way around it. We got to have a new school. We got to have a new middle school, and it'll have to house both of them. But we need to do everything we can to see that we continue to reach every child. Don't let them fall through the cracks. Find some other way to reach them and have them involved in that school.
Thank you. Question number four for Ms. Sparks. Mr. Roberts.
Ms. Sparks, how should teacher performance be evaluated? And what are some of the challenges in evaluating teachers?
Well, speaking from a personal perspective, because I have been evaluated many times. Read the first part of that again.
How should a teacher performance be measured?
Well, my principal usually evaluated me. But, you know, you could ask your fellow teachers or students or parents. It could be an ongoing effort, something like that. But I do agree that teachers need to be evaluated. And maybe not merit pay. I'm not really sure that I know about that, because there's so many things in a classroom that a teacher cannot control. Intelligence of the students, background of the students, family, the family they come from, all those things are so critical to the students you get. So you have to take all that into consideration. It's really a tricky thing when you start evaluating teachers.
Mr. Wilson.
I'll make this quick because it's getting late. We all want to go home. But I agree with Brenda. It's tough. I was evaluated all the times I was teaching. Now, the bad thing to me was typically, not always, but typically, assistant principal came to me and she said, "Coach Wilson, how about tomorrow? Can I come in and do my evaluation? Are you doing a test or anything?" And, of course, she didn't want to evaluate me when I was giving a test. And I'd say, no, that's good. Tomorrow's great. And one time, though, I said, "You know what? If you really want to evaluate me, bring those forms in, make you 30 copies, and hand them to every one of the students. You want to know who knows if the teacher's doing a good job? If the teacher is really interested in those students, the students know. Not a person walking in the room sit with me for once every quarter."
Thank you. Closing statements. Mr. Drum.
35 years ago, I got a call from Daryl Ledford asking me to come up and interview for the band job at Mitchell High School. That was the best educational move I ever made. He went out of his way to interview me on a Saturday morning. I felt like I was wanted. When I got to school that day and taught the first day, I went home to see my wife, and she said, "How'd it go?" I said, "We're in heaven," and we really are in Mitchell County. And the reason I said that is because the students wanted to learn. They weren't there to see how they could get out of learning. They really wanted to do something. They had enthusiasm. And I see people from Mitchell County all over the country helping out in other communities. I hope that our students can come back here and be productive members of society. I can tell you just from the band perspective, we have had students in all the major college bands in this state. We have even had the drum major in Stanford University's band in California. And that's not because I was a great teacher. It was because they are great students. This is a good county. It is a good school system. There are teachers and administrators, school board members,
all who care about these students. The parents care about these students. And I would like to ask for your vote so that we can keep this school system going strong. We do a lot with a little, and that's because we have good people working here. And all the other members running for the Board of Education, I believe, are excellent people, and you couldn't go wrong with any of them.
Thank you. Ms. Sparks, closing statement.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for coming and staying so long to listen to us. And I would like to say that what I said before, I love Mitchell County. I love Mitchell County schools. I'm a product of Mitchell County schools. I was well educated here, and I went on to, you know, get my degrees and come back and teach. And my husband and I, he has a Christmas tree farm, and I'm very interested in the new school. I'm interested in my grandchildren. I'm interested in everything that I can do to help education in Mitchell County. I bring several perspectives to the position of Mitchell County Board of Education. I have been involved in the business world in Mitchell County. I'm also, as you're aware, the arts are very important in Mitchell County, and I'm involved in that. And so I believe that I am uniquely qualified to be on the school board, and I would like to ask you for your vote, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson, closing statement.
I'd like to say the same thing in terms of thanking. I thank everybody for staying. It's you stick around to the last one here. Thank you very much. And as I said in the beginning, my single purpose is to do what's best for the children of this county and the grandchildren. I think what I would like to do, and as I said, I promise to ask questions, and I promise to listen. Listen to parents, teachers, administrators, listen to you, and then ask questions. I think there's some questions, and there may be great answers already out there, but I always have, and I've mentioned it several times to different people, why don't we pursue a junior ROTC program, grade 7 to 12? North Carolina is the third, has more junior ROTC programs. They're number 3. I think it's Texas and Florida ahead of them. Great program. And as Brenda mentioned, the arts. How much integration are we doing with our art and crafts community in the area? Because we've got the greatest. How much integration are we doing with the mineral and the mining industry? Geology. Are we pushing our students that opportunities so they can stay here? And then also, you know, I think the scholarship program I mentioned, I was on the foundation. We need to spread the word, because we need to be trying to say, why can't we have some type of scholarship for every kid who maintains a certain average? If they stay in state or stay at Malin or wherever, we need to give our children the opportunity to be successful in life. That's the bottom line. Thank you very much to everybody that put this on.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate that. Before you go, please let's stay for a little while longer, because we have the U.S. representatives. We've invited all three of the candidates. Mr. Meadows, we have not heard from Mr. Meadows. Mr. Ingram? Mr. Ingram said that he would be here. He's not here. Mr. Price is here, and we've discussed this with him, and he would like to go through the process of an opening and closing statement and have 3 questions asked of him from the panelists. Thank you, Mr. Price.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank all of y'all for being here and sticking with us.
Thank you to the Chamber of Commerce for putting this on. Thank you, Dan, and everyone else responsible for making this happen. Thank you for you all for coming and staying so late. My name's Philip Price. I'm running for the U.S. House of Representatives to serve the 11th District, which is made up of 16 counties of Western North Carolina and almost 7,000 square miles. I threw my hat in this race 18 months ago, and I've traveled over 50,000 miles in those 18 months going around and meeting the good people of the 11th District and learning what's concerns and issues are on the minds of the people of Western North Carolina. I'm a 34-year resident of Western North Carolina, and I've lived in six counties in this district. I am married faithfully 22 years to my wife from Jackson County. We have three children that we've been raising with the help of the North Carolina Public School System and the Episcopal Church in downtown Asheville. We now live in southern McDowell County, and Michelle and I have been building a small business from the ground up for the last 18 years. We own a lumber recycling business, and we take down old barns and farmhouses and things like that, and we make custom furniture and tongue-and-groove flooring, and we've built a nice life for ourselves and worked hard to get there. After traveling around this district, I found that the thing that's on most people's mind is better jobs with bigger paychecks. The median income of Western North Carolina is between $38,000 and $39,000, and that's just not going to cut it. We need better opportunities for better jobs that bring bigger paychecks. You ask, how are we going to do that on a federal level? I've got four planks to my platform. It includes health care, expanding health care to every single American through expanding Medicare for a Medicare for All system, a single-payer Medicare for All system. It'll be the largest, the biggest economic boon within 100 years of our history. The second is public education. We need to invest in our education and to our young folks and take the burden of tuition off of two-year community schools and tech schools and trade schools. We need to move to a K through 14 system, if you would, instead of a K through 12 system, and have people job ready and skill ready so that they're ready for jobs of the 21st century. The third plank of my platform is protecting our environment and weaning off of fossil fuels. I support the OFF Act, which would take the United States off of fossil fuels 100% by 2035. We can do that. North Carolina is second only to California in solar production, and we can expand that. We have over 34,000 jobs in North Carolina now in renewable energy jobs. And in the United States, we have more jobs in renewable energy than we do in fossil fuels. We can move on all the way to the goal line with that. I also believe that we can bring agricultural jobs back to Western North Carolina by pushing farther with industrial hemp and making biodegradable plastic. The fourth thing is living wages and getting broadband internet accessible to everyone in every nook and cranny.
Thank you, Mr. Price. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
And we will have three questions and then a closing statement. We'll begin with Mr. Roberts. Question number one.
Mr. Price, what specific action by incumbent Mark Meadows do you disagree with most, and how would you have done it differently?
Attempting to repeal the Affordable Care Act over and over and over. There are 45,000 families in Western North Carolina who get their health care through the Affordable Care Act, including myself. And I would, as I mentioned in my opening statement, I would move to expand access to health care to every American, not take it away from 20 million Americans.
Thank you. Question number two, Mr. Eichert.
Mr. Price, what do you think is the single most important item facing the district right now?
Health care. Lack of access of health care. North Carolina General Assembly failed to expand Medicaid to North Carolina through the Affordable Care Act, leaving 500,000 people without health care and failing to create 23 to 25,000 jobs by doing that. So health care, which also extends into the opioid epidemic. Those two things are kind of intertwined, but health care is the number one issue in Western North Carolina.
Question number three, Mr. Roberts.
We the people want to always be heard. How can you encourage that in our government?
By sending a working man like me to Congress to have a working man, a simple working man, at the seat of the House of Representatives. It's time to have a working man's voice to represent the working people.
Very good. Closing statement, please.
Thank you, Dan. My opponent, Mr. Meadows, has failed to appear at any debate with me. We've asked him directly. We have sent him certified letters. The NAACP has asked for him to debate with me. The League of Women Voters has asked us, and Western Carolina University has asked us, and he is nowhere to be seen. He's nowhere to be heard from. Mr. Meadows and I stand on completely opposite sides of most issues. He continues to vote for policies that benefit the top wealthiest people in this nation and the corporations. 97% of his votes are for the wealthy and for corporations. I will not do that. I'm going to vote for policies that benefit the people, the hard-working people of Western North Carolina. You have a vast contrast in your decision on starting tomorrow, which is early voting. I ask you for your vote, and I tell you that I will humbly represent you in the House of Representatives, and that it's time for, like I said, a working man's perspective to go to the House of Representatives and work for the people. My name is Philip Price. I appreciate your time. I appreciate y'all being here and wait and staying so long. And thank you very much. Have a good evening.
I thank all of you for being here. I truly believe that we should take this as a YouTube and send it out to all the other political situations and events in this country, because I think you've just seen political discourse that can be civil, can be mature, and can be open and honest. Thank you all for being here.
You've been listening to the Candidates Forum that was recorded on Tuesday in Bakersville. This program was presented as a public service of WTOE Radio.